council. I am Mindy Rump, the mayor of Blair.
Oops. I will talk slower. Are we good?
We're good.
And I am pleased you have joined us this evening. This is a public meeting and you are part of the process. I encourage you to participate, ask questions, and share your thoughts. I want you to feel comfortable and I will do everything that I can to make sure that your voice is heard. We have several rules to help us proceed with the meeting and I ask that you keep them in mind. Please turn off your cell phone. If you need to take a call, step outside the chamber. When you wish to speak, simply raise your hand. I will recognize you and you can come to the podium. The city clerk must record who you are, so please state your name, spell your last name, and state your address. Please keep your remarks brief, about 3 minutes, so that others have the opportunity to speak. Please direct your remarks to either me, the city council, or city staff. A copy of the Open Meetings Act has been posted by both exits, and we will begin with the roll call of members.
Paper?
Here.
Paulson?
Here.
Anderson?
Yep.
Wolf?
Here.
Willis?
Here.
Sandholz?
Here.
Ferrari?
Here.
Here.
All members are present.
Thank you. If you would please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Item number 4, approval of the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda. Please register your vote.
All members present voting aye.
Motion passes. Item number 5, I'll open a public hearing to consider a conditional use permit submitted by Glenn A. and Diane M. Nelson. 12600 County Road P26, Blair, Nebraska, to allow two accessory structures in the second front of the primary structure on Lot 6, Highland Estate Subdivision in Section 26, Township 18, North Range 11, east of the 6th Prime Meridian, Washington County, Nebraska, except the west 175 feet, 12600 County Road P26, for the life of the primary structure. Mr. Byerman.
Thank you. Good evening, Mayor Rump. Good evening, council members. We have two considerations tonight carried over from Planning Commission meeting last week. The first tonight is the conditional use permit by the Nelsons. We live in our 2 mile ETJ, just directly north of our water tower. The location of property is 12600 County Road P26 and Highway 33. It's on that corner. You'll see a little bit where it's located at. Zoning overlay is RRE. Within the 2 mile ETJ. And this corner, or this lot, is a corner lot, which means it has two fronts. Your 20x4x24 accessory structure, which will be a garage, would be 50 feet from the property line per the setbacks of something close to the highway. Planning Commission did recommend approval 5-0. This right here, section 1103, talks about the fact that, well, no accessory structure can be between the front line and the front line of the house and the property line, in RRE and RL with the big acreage, but in this case RRE, it is allowed, but by conditional use permit only. This shows the location of their lot in the Highland Estates. Here's the water tower, mobile home park. This is a little bit closer view. We see the proposed area right here, and here are some other accessory structures that have been given. This one granted for sure, but with the CUP, these two were in before the CUP changes were changed back in 2006, I believe. You'll notice this is for two. The structure existing there already, which is a shed, was there before all the zoning came in also. It was there when the Nelsons bought the house, is what they told me. It has never been issued a conditional use permit. Whether it was there before this all came about or it was put in without one, we don't know. But at this point, we're also going to include the second condition, the second step into this CUP, so both are legally conforming sheds or accessory structures. This shows the approximate area where this is going to go. Again, 50 feet from the property line per setbacks for a next to a federally controlled highway. And this is their house now, the one existing shed that we'll be at. Did not receive any negative phone calls. Did receive one phone call from a neighbor who said that he's only expanding this because he's to to do with his cabinetry business. I talked to Nelson, he does not have a cabinetry business. He has woodworking, but he's not running the business. I don't know if anybody was told that, we just wanted to clear that up. Again, I did talk to Nelson's, and that is not the case. With that, are there any questions for staff?
Is he building this structure by himself, I mean, personally, or is he hiring a company, Wick Buildings, or
a Morton? I believe he's going to do a pole barn type of structure. It will be beside the house, so it will match the same roof color, the same siding color as much as possible, so it blends in there as much as possible. He may change the building stuff later on, but right now, I believe it's a pole barn type of structure. I believe it's for one of his old cars he's restoring, and it's not going to have electricity or water or anything like that.
Any other questions for Mr. Byerman?
No.
Mm-hmm. Did we have any comments in writing?
No.
None? Any comments from the public?
I'll move the approval of conditional use permit submitted by Glenn and Diane M. Nelson as presented for the life of the primary structure.
Second.
I'll close the public hearing.
That too.
And then we can do that. We have a motion and a second to recommend approval of the conditional use permit submitted by the Nelsons. Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye.
Motion passes. Item number 6. I'll open a public hearing to consider ordinance 2522 on first reading, annexing and extending the corporate limits of the city of Blair to include the real estate, which is generally described as tax lots 252 and 280 in section 13, township 18, north, range 11, tax lots 15, 42, 43, 47, and 48 in section 18, township 18, north, range 12, and tax lots 66 and 67 in section 19, township 18, north, range 12, all east of the 6th prime meridian, including those portions of County Road P35A, adjoining the above listed tax lots in Washington County, Nebraska. Mr. Byerman.
Thank you again. So this is the annexation of the ARP land incorporated, including the lot with the church on it and the lot next to it, which is an empty lot. Located here along Highway 75 south of Blair, in our ETJ, obviously. This shows our current property line of the corporate city limits. You got the first corner, comes around here. It's a little bit of right of way, and it looks back that way. The lots in question are this area right here, Highway 75 to P35, including that lot. This is what the overlay of this will be. Of course, this is the legal language. It shows all the different tax lots. This will stop at the Chicago Northwestern right-of-way at this area here. This will include County Road P35A, US 75, and its right-of-way on east and or north and south or east and west side of the road, right and left side. Also, these tax lot here just contain a church and this empty lot here, I believe, owned by Alexa Construction. This is still owned by ARP Land Incorporated. This will be the new corporate city limits. This right here shows the waterway that runs along 75 down to OPPD's area. This shows gas and water lines that are existing already. The annexation will add 3.06 lane miles of streets to the city of Blair. We will be responsible for Highway 75 and County Road P35A. Snow removal from this additional streets will be, again, be our responsibility, but Assistant City Administrator Aaron Barrow has gone through the analysis of this. We believe we have the personnel and the equipment to take care of any sort of snow removal or any sort of repairs. According to the annexation report, additional road miles will not have an impact on city services. Planning Commission did recommend approval 520. The reason we're looking at annexing this is that property contiguous are also to our city line limits, corporate city limits, are already getting the benefit of our city services. Snow removal, stuff like that on city streets next to it. As you can see, we've got the water lines, everything like that. It's just time to move out and capture this area for tax purposes and also to add to the city. the current owners, whether it becomes sold from ARP land or stays as is, if ARP land farms chooses to keep farming that, Governor Pillen this year did change the green belt rules. I confirmed this with our county assessor. In the past, if you annex land and it would go right into the city, you would not be able to claim the green belt. Now, it doesn't matter if it's in the city or not, you can still apply for these green belt tax reductions, which is basically just a cheaper tax on your farmland. This will not change whether we access and annex it or not, according to the Washington County assessor. With that, any questions for staff?
Any comments from the public? Having none, I'll close the public hearing.
I'll introduce ordinance 2522.
An ordinance of the City of Blair, Nebraska annexing and extending the corporate limits of the City of Blair to include the real estate which is generally described as tax lot 252, 279, and 280 in section 13, township 18, North Range 11, tax lot 15, 42, 43, 47, 48 in section 18, township 18, North Range 12, and tax lot 66 and 67 in section 19, township 18 North Range 12, all east of the 6 p.m., including those portions of County Road P35 and its U.S. Highway 75 adjoining the tax lots in Washington County, Nebraska, which is more specifically described here and after in this ordinance, and authorizing the publication of this ordinance in pamphlet form.
I'll move for passage ordinance 2522 on first readings.
Second.
Question.
The question for the council is, shall ordinance number 2522 be passed and adopted on first reading? Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye.
I declare ordinance number 2522 passed on first reading. Item number 7. Request to appear before the mayor and council by Carl Lorenzen to provide an update on phase 3 of the Veterans Tribute Plaza Memorial. Ms. Lorenzen.
Madam Mayor, members of the council, staff, my name is Carl Lorenzen, L-O-R-E-N-Z-E-N. I reside at 1094 South 13th Avenue, down the road from Kevin, in apartment number 504. I'm here this evening as the ad hoc chairman for the Veterans Tribute Plaza Committee and the Washington County Veterans Tribute Plaza Memorial is the full name. It is a county memorial. And Arlington has a memorial in their cemetery, as does Fort Calhoun. But this is a countywide memorial here in Blair, Nebraska. Little history, former State Senator Bud Robinson and former Mayor Mick Mines were co-chairmen when this project started back in around 2001-2002 with many community members, to include George Yip and others on that committee. Jim Ryan and I were on that committee, and we later became co-chairs of the committee. Right now, our current committee has members representing all the veterans organizations within the county, and including Steve Bremer from Arlington, Larry Cusack from Fort Calhoun, Councilman Paulson, Ed Lottrup, our VSO, Pat Long from the Blair Parks Department, Carl Runnerfeldt, who's here tonight, Betsy Anderson, Margaret Anderson from the Washington County Genealogy Society, who's here, and Deb Worley from the AmVet Society. We are looking at the responsibility of the Veterans Tribute Plaza Committee is to make major improvements and also provide ongoing maintenance. The City of Blair Park Department does a routine mowing and general cleanup. Betsy Anderson, Master Gardener, of course, does the pollinator garden and all the shrubbery and everything. He does a really great job on that. Pat Long and crew, they take care of the flags, raising and lowering the flags when necessary, and they're going to add a new flagpole for the Space Command flag. The honor wall contains over 7,000 names dated from the Civil War to the present. And unfortunately, we lost Pat Hunchy, but she is personally responsible for making most of those names in the correct format and rechecking and checking spelling and whatnot. So the county really owes Pat a great deal of gratitude for what she did. The mission of the Veterans Tribute Plaza is to celebrate liberty and honor those past, present, and future who answered the call with courage, dignity, and patriotism. To have a veteran's name engraved on the wall costs nothing. They simply had to live in Washington County at some point in time and served in the military. And we will engrave their name on the wall. In 2003, we started a campaign for a capital fundraising issue or effort. And initially, we were going to raise $850,000. That was the cost of the project in 2003. We scaled that back to $650,000. We raised $450,000. So what we did is we divided it into phases, phase one, phase two, phase three, so we would not incur any debt. Phase one was the infrastructure and the concrete. Phase two was the wall itself. And then phase three was the sculpture and finishing out the project. In 2006, we had a groundbreaking on the current location, on the current city-owned lot, and also land that was donated by the Blair Foundation Post 154. In 2009, we had a dedication upon the completion of phase two on Veterans Day, November 11th, 2009. That brings us up today to phase three. We have a donor that came forward that wants to fund phase three. And that donor is going to remain anonymous for right now, and the total dollars are going to remain anonymous for right now. But what we're looking at is we've been working as a committee the last 3 months with this donor, and we've come up with a concept which the donor has approved and the committee has approved. And we've been working with Milt Heinrich, of course, and he had the initial sculpture design. He's redesigned that. And this new design is going to have not only the sculpture, but it's going to have a water feature. So if I could have the first slide. The Veterans Tribute Plaza, of course, that's the west, the sign on the west side. This is the wall looking south. And the new feature will be right in between the two walls. Next slide. This is a newly designed sculpture, and it's not quite accurate because this design shows that the legs of the stars are in the powder-coated steel. They're going to actually be in stainless steel, so the entire sculpture will be stainless steel. The labor to do the powder coating and the longevity of the powder coating makes stainless actually about the same cost. So we're going to do the whole thing in stainless. Next slide. We have these granite stones that Joe Peterson engraved for us. We have all the major commands and also the POW MIA, the Coast Guard, and also the Merchant Marine. And these stones are actually going to be incorporated within the water feature. They'll be just a little bit above the water level in the fountain. Next slide. This is just a rendering, a 3D rendering, but this represents the wall. And of course, obviously not to scale, and that's not Blair, obviously. But this will all be within the confines of the wall. There's 9 feet between the walls. This will be 31 inches on each side, so people can move through between the water feature and the wall. And in this area right here, on both sides, will be those granite stones that we have engraved. And then along this area on both sides, we will have the smaller stones that will have all of the veterans organizations within the county inlaid in the concrete. Next slide. The water feature itself will have step downs, and then this is not to scale, but there will actually be fountains inside on both sides. So you'll have the water feature, same water feature on both sides of the wall. Next slide. It'll be lighted at night, and it'll be red, white, and blue. And then on this area here, there'll be an American flag wrapped around that'll be lighted. So it's going to be really, really pretty. Next slide. Okay. So what we have is a deposit on the way for the letting of bids on the sculpture and to acquire money or to acquire parts for the water feature itself. The water feature will feature a tank underground that will hold the supply water and that will be pumped up into the fountain. and it'll be a water feature they'll be able to use either 9 or 10 months out of the year. And it's going to be maintenance, or low maintenance, because when it's time to turn it off, when the ice starts to build up, you simply shut off the pump, all the water drains back into the tank. So very, very easy to take care of. The Washington County Foundation is going to handle all the collection of funds, the distribution of monies, and the target date for completion and the dedication is Flag Day, June 14th, 2024. Do we have questions?
Sounds very nice.
We have goosebumps.
it's going to be a really neat addition to the Veterans
As I have a fountain in my backyard, and I know how this goes, you have evaporation and some splashing, so you do lose your water level.
Automatic replenish underground.
That answers my question. That's what I was curious. How do you get water back into the tank? So.
Right.
Okay.
I thought Jim could haul it over from the Legion.
I got one bucket at a time.
I think it's going to be a really neat addition, and I'm not prepared to disclose the donor at this time or the dollar amounts, but I will do that in the very near future. Any other questions?
It's going to be nice.
Thanks for
coming. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carl.
Thank you.
Item number 8, consider resolution 2023-61, approving the mayoral appointments of Travis Radner, Joe Pleska, and Ryan Schroeder to the Planning Commission until December 31st, 2026, and Kylie Huber to fill the unexpired term vacated by Don Hansen until December 31st, 2025. Anyone like to make a motion?
I'll make a motion to adopt resolution number 2023-61 as presented.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to adopt resolution number 2023-61 as presented. Please register your votes.
All council members present voting aye.
Item number 9. Consider resolution number 2023-62, approving the mayoral appointments of Matthew Guzman, Nate Hubert, Jeanette Nielsen, Travis Swingard, Ashley Cruz, Mike Tupa, Joel Bacon, Chris Boswell, Joe Pleska, Ryan Schroeder, Caitlin Ferrari, Holly Hafer, Kirk Highfill, Phil Green, Arrow Barrow, myself, and Jeff Byerman to the Housing Advisory Committee. And also Neil Jensen and Betsy Anderson to the Park Board until December 31st, 2026. Also, Daryl Bosinger and Ryan Palmer to the Board of Adjustment until December 31st, 2026. Ruth Sather to the Housing Authority, appointed until December 31st, 2028. Also, to the Licensing Board, Phil Green, Ethan Rowe, and Wynn Phil, the Director of Public Works, for 1 year. And also the LB 840 Committee, Doug DeMars and Terry Conrad, appointed until December 31st, 2026. Need a motion to adopt.
I'd like to make a motion to adopt resolution 2023-62 as presented.
Second.
I'd like to make a motion to amend resolution 2023-62 by adding Steve Worley and Ed Shatta to the Housing Advisory Committee.
Second.
We have a motion and a second with amendment to include Steve Worley and Ed Shatta to the Housing Advisory Committee. Please register your vote.
Who seconded Kevin's motion?
I did.
I'm sorry. Thank you. This one was not displayed, but all members present voted on the amendment. So I have a motion by Rick and a second by Holly on the actual motion. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. So then this will be a vote on the amended resolution.
Okay.
All council members present voting aye.
Motion passes. And before we move on, are any of these individuals in our public this evening? Please stand if you are. Thank you. We appreciate your dedication to this community and your willingness to serve, because when you volunteer, you are saying that this community and everyone in it are worth your time. And for that, we are very grateful. Thank you. Item number 10, consider resolution 2023-63, approving Alyssa Hickerson as a new member of the Blair Volunteer Fire Department. Chief Leonard, did I pronounce her name correctly? Okay.
Good evening, Mayor and City Staff and Council. Fire Chief Joe Leonard, LEO, NARD, 1303 Maple Drive, Blair, Nebraska. I'm here tonight to get approval to approve Alyssa Hickerson to Blair Volunteer Fire and Rescue Department. Alyssa is here with me tonight. She is EMT certified. She currently works at MCHER, and she's also going to grad school to become public health. So.
Wonderful. I'm looking for a resolution to adopt.
I'll make a motion to adopt resolution 2023-63 as presented.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to adopt resolution number 2023-63 as presented. Please register your vote.
Too late to back out now.
Congratulations. Motion passes. Thank you, Alyssa. And the same speech goes for you with a little extra. It's a fuller measure of devotion that you are dedicating, and we appreciate that very much. Thank you. Item number 11, consider resolution number 2023-64, designating depositories for city funds and to authorize the mayor, together with the city treasurer, city clerk, or assistant finance director, to sign checks, drafts, and other withdrawal orders. Mr. Green.
Thank you, Mayor. As the mayor just indicated, this would, if you approve this resolution tonight, it would basically be reaffirming the fact that the mayor, the city clerk, Brenda Wheeler, finance director, and city treasurer, Lindsay Burton, are able to sign, but we're adding to this list now assistant finance director, Sarah Bach. That gives us, you know, just in case people are sick, people are gone, everyone in the finance area and the mayor, the authorization to go ahead and sign the checks for the monies that are deposited both at Washington County Bank and RBR Bank. Any questions? Thank you.
Any comments from the public? Having none, do we have a recommendation from the Finance Committee?
The Finance Committee met, and we thought that it did make sense to add the additional person just in case of sickness, vacation, and so on. So with that, I would like to introduce resolution number 2023-64.
Resolution number 2023-64 was introduced by Councilmember Hafer, designating depositories for city funds and authorizing mayor, together with city treasurer, city clerk, or assistant finance director, to sign checks, drafts, and other withdrawal orders.
Make a recommendation to adopt resolution number 2023-64 as presented.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to adopt resolution number 2023-64. Please register your votes.
Council members present,
voting aye. Motion passes. Item number 12, consider resolution number 2023-65, authorizing city staff to prepare claims, issue warrants, and pay expenditures between December 12, 2023 and January 9, 2024, previously approved through the budget or authorized by the City Council, and report any expenditures at the January 9, 2024 meeting. Mr. Green.
Thank you, Mayor. As you all know, historically, Blair has only had one council meeting during the month of December. Starting within the last couple of years, though, we've been processing claims after both council meetings. And so our clients and others who receive payments from us have gotten used to that. Oftentimes, we don't get invoices submitted to us in time to be able to make that very first meeting. And so what you have before you tonight is a resolution authorizing city staff to go ahead and process and make payments on some of the things that would be coming in after tonight prior to the next meeting in January, but a full reckoning will be made to you. Now, I do want to note out on page 2 that staff is limited to basically paying claims that are routine claims. So if it's anything that's unusual, anything that that hasn't been approved by some kind of a separate agreement by the council, would not be included here. Specifically, it says that they would be authorized to prepare claims, issue warrants for, otherwise pay expenditures related to the contracts and or installment payments that have been contracted for and authorized by action of the council already. So you've already agreed to be doing this work and making these payments. So long as such expenditures have otherwise been previously approved by the council, are included in the budget, approvals for the contracts and other related processes, and authorized again previously by the council. And then, as the mayor had mentioned, we'll give a full accounting of any payments that are made at the first meeting in January, so you'll easily be able to see kind of what's been done. But this allows us to kind of keep our payments current, and those who submit invoices don't have to wait until, you know, the middle of January.
So we don't end up with a lot of new cop cars and snowplows?
No. Or extra trips or training expenditures or things like that. The Finance Committee did meet on this as well.
Thank you. Any comments from the public? Having none?
Finance Committee met on this. It makes good sense for the business of the city to be operating smoothly. So I would introduce resolution number 2023-65.
Resolution number 2023-64 was introduced by Council Member Sample, authorizing city staff to prepare claims, issue warrants, and pay expenditures between December 12, 2023 and January 9, 2024, and previously approved through the budget or authorized by the City Council, and report any expenditures at the January 9, 2024 meeting.
Make a motion to adopt resolution number 2023-65 as presented.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to adopt resolution number 2023-65. Please register your votes.
Council members present voting aye.
Motion passes. Item number 13, consider resolution number 2023-66, accepting the Cintas uniform rental agreement for City of Blair employees. Mr. Green. Oh, sorry.
You got the B team.
I didn't even look up. Sorry, Mr. Barrow. You're just as important.
Tonight, the resolution before you is to approve a contract agreement between the city and Cintas. A little background on this. Probably this past fall, the City Safety Committee met, and it was kind of brought to our attention that a lot of the safety garments, the high-vis clothing that we've been providing for our staff that work in and about traffic and equipment, really wasn't getting worn very well because it's just not very good stuff. And so, we decided to bring in a couple vendors and take a look at what they would offer. And what you have before you there in that bid comparison is a representation of what they had. We had two vendors came, Cintas and our current vendor, Jackson Services. And just to kind of cut to the chase, Cintas had a lot more to offer as far as the variety of wear that would fit everybody. The quality was a lot better. They provided some heavy duty warmer clothing that we weren't able to provide before, specifically some of the Carhartt gear that our people out of Public Works and the street department really are looking for. And so we did a cost comparison on that. And just to kind of break it down a little bit, HR Director Gould and I sat down and we figured out, you know, if every one of our employees that was eligible to take advantage of the service chose the most expensive item and maxed out the program, what would be our exposure? And that is the figure there that we came to here that's highlighted. That would be the annual expense for this rental service and laundry service. And then again, we did it for the Jackson services also. And so you can kind of see basically what we're recommending is if you approve to move forward with the Cintas agreement, not only is it going to provide our folks some better uniforms to wear. It would have a uniform appearance across all the staff that are out in the field, and they're more likely to wear them. They provide a laundry service along with it, and overall it probably would be a little bit less expensive down the road. So with that, I would be happy to take any questions that you might have. Finance Committee did meet on this.
If there are no questions for Mr. Barrow, any comments from the public? Having none, someone from Finance Committee?
Madam Mayor?
Oh, sorry.
Sorry. Just one thing I should mention. Didn't really bring it up too much at the Finance Committee, or didn't bring it up at all at the Finance Committee meeting, but this is a 60-month contract, so it's a five-year agreement. The ultimate plan would be then that this kind of gets us on a five-year plan. So year four, we'll do a full evaluation of the product. We'll bring in some other vendors again at the same time, do some cost comparisons, and just, you know, roll forward every time with kind of a five-year agreement. So just wanted you to know that it is a multi-year agreement.
Thank you.
Yeah, the Finance Committee did meet on this, and we want to keep our employees happy. They weren't using all the product and we're having to pay for it. So, and they're also less expensive than what Jackson was. So with that, I'm going to introduce Resolution 2023-66.
Resolution number 2023-66 was introduced by Councilmember Wolf, accepting the Cintas Uniform Rental Agreement for City of Blair employees.
Make a motion to adopt Resolution 2023-66 as presented.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to adopt Resolution number 2023-66. Please register your votes.
Voting aye.
Motion passes. Item number 14, consider resolution number 2023-67, amending the city's 457B employee deferred pension plan to allow Roth contributions. Mr. Green.
Thank you, Mayor. It's pretty much explained exactly what this agreement for you does. We took our agreement back to the attorneys who help draft these documents, and after having met with the employees during the employee bargaining time, one of the things they've been requesting, frankly, for several years, has been the ability to invest in a Roth IRA. it does comply with Secure 2.0 and other statutory changes. So the attorneys have incorporated all of the new language that would be required by Secure 2.0, as well as opening up the Roth possibility for our employees. Doesn't change at all the way our matching is done today. One of the things you might want to know, we checked into the idea of whether an employee could kind of select where their match is deposited, whether it would be in the pre-tax or in one of these Roth post-tax ones. My personal feeling is they should keep it in the pre-tax area, but by statute, we're not allowed to regulate that. But I'll also tell you, the industry isn't quite ready yet as well. So our service provider has told us that as of right now, the employees would only be able to get the match in our current pre-tax fund that we have in the 457. But again, sometime in the future, once they open that up the next year or two, that might be something that the employees are able to choose from. Again, the Finance Committee did talk a little bit about this. I can answer any questions you may have on the Roth issue.
Can you explain that part just one more time? I'm not sure I understand.
On the matching
piece of it, yeah.
Yeah, so our we match up to 7% of what the employee deposits.
Right.
Depending on when you were hired, it's either done in a 414H plan or in this 457B plan. But ultimately, they have to contribute up to that 7% before the city would match that. Just because, you know, we're really trying to match to incentivize and prepare for them for retirement. Personally, I think it's better to leave it in the pre-tax area. You get the most bang for the buck long term, and you can't touch those until later because the rules are a little tighter on those. On a Roth IRA, ultimately, once you've had your for 5 years and it's the employee's money that's been put in, not the earnings of it, but the money that has been deposited, and I think the match would count towards those funds, they can ultimately draw those out prior to retirement if they chose to in the Roth, which ultimately is not the point of what we're trying to match. So that was kind of my reason for hoping that we could restrict that, but we ultimately were told we couldn't. that ultimately will have to match wherever it is that they request that match, whether it's in a Roth or the pre-tax.
Is that a 100% match up to 7%? Or
yes.
What's this, a city match is 100%?
Correct, yeah, up to the full 7%, depending on when, if that's the percentage they put in. If they choose to only put in 5%, then we just match up to 5%.
And then will this go for the police as well? Or is that separate?
The police plan is a the 457 is one that they can participate in, right? Yeah, so okay. It would be open to them as well.
No other questions for Mr. Green? Any comments from the public? Having none, Finance Committee?
Finance Committee met in regards to this, and this was something that the employees asked for. Once again, helping to maintain employees and keep them happy, so we don't see any issue with this. So having said that, I would like to introduce resolution number 2023-67.
Resolution number 2023-67 was introduced by Councilmember Hafer, amending the city's 457B employee deferred pension plan to allow Roth contributions.
I'd like to make a motion to adopt resolution number 2023-67 as presented.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to adopt resolution number 2023-67 as presented. Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye.
Motion passes. Mr. Green.
Thank you, Mayor. Just a couple things to report to you. Number one, since we're not going to be having a second meeting here in December, if I don't happen to bump into you or see you before it, I hope you all have a good Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Last week, we did a final walkthrough of the new water intake facility. And other than a couple minor little tweaks and some configuration that's being done on the SCADA system that's down there, it is up and functioning and as it's designed to be. The great news is if we get a cold spell now, we don't have to worry about bringing in pumps or anything like that anymore.
Good.
That facility is fully functional. And so, yeah, we're very excited about that. I am very, very pleased to let you know that city staff working with Mayor Rump has selected three candidates for the Director of Public Works position, and we have started interviews for those three individuals. We are doing half-day interviews for each of them, so it's quite an elaborate little process. We basically start at 11:30 for a lunch with all of the Public Works supervisors and superintendents. Gives them an opportunity to kind of talk a little bit about what they do, get to know this individual. It's been great to hear all of our employees really appreciate the process that they've had and the opportunity to kind of have their voice heard and get to know these individuals. Following lunch, we come back over here for an hour session with all the rest of the senior staff. And I want you to specifically know I excuse myself at that time and allow just the senior staff to talk. In fact, I've come in, kind of introduced the session, and encourage them to talk about me if they want to, because obviously we're going to be hiring somebody who has to work with me. It gives them an opportunity just to kind of be open and honest with this individual, find out a little bit about their background, and again, talk about just what the culture is here at the staff. Following that is about a 1 hour tour that Aaron Barrow and Ben Gould give these individuals as they drive around town, looking at various facilities, concentrating especially on the public works facilities. Then we bring them back here for an hour and a half actual interview with the mayor, Council President Willis, myself, and Ben Gould. And then following that, the candidate leaves, and then we gather all of those individuals together from our staff that's been involved with it for kind of a half hour debrief opportunity for everyone to kind of share their opinions and thoughts. So again, not only have all of the employees really talked about how much they appreciate that kind of a process, but we've had one candidate so far, and the candidate was very impressed with the process, really enjoyed being able to meet some of the staff, have some good conversations. I think it was kind of interesting to see an individual, and having gone through interviews at various times, go from being a little uptight, a little nervous, to much more relaxed when it came to the actual interview time, because they'd been around for several hours, they'd met several people, and felt kind of comfortable and everything. So we had the first one yesterday, one more is coming up this Friday, and then the third is next Monday. And so if all things go well, we hope that maybe sometime next week, the mayor might have a decision to let you all know about, and then we can look forward to moving forward with that position being filled, hopefully sometime in the near future. The last thing I just wanted to bring to your attention is, again, just the process that's going on with Front Desk. Aaron brought up the webpage, so if you had an opportunity to kind of keep your eye on this page, kudos out to Lindsay and the rest of his finance staff for maintaining this. The easy-to-follow instructions have been really well received. So we have had numerous individuals from the public calling, asking for assistance. You know, when we go to take them to the page, I think it's been fairly explanatory for them to be able to work through the process. One thing I do want the public to understand, though, because we have had comments regarding this, especially some of our elderly residents have been a little worried that they're no longer able to come to City Hall and pay their bill, and that's not the case. People can obviously still bring their bill in if they want to. They can still drop it off at the drop-off stations outside the facility here. They can pay by check. They can bring in cash. You know, all the kind of payments that we've always done, we continue to still offer for them. But I think this is just a more modern approach, and people have, you know, a variety of ways to open up accounts, pay for them. I think long-term, what they'll really appreciate is the history that we'll be building through this account, plus the fact that we hope that this is going to be able to be used for making other payments that are due to the city as well at various times, and it'll be kind of one central location for them to be able to utilize those things. So any questions that either I or Lindsay, who's here, can answer regarding what's been going on?
947 Skyline signed up.
Very good. Appreciate that. Yeah, and if you haven't had an opportunity to do that, I do encourage you to take some opportunities, kind of play around with it a little bit, get us your feedback. We appreciate that. There will be a postcard that's going out in the near future. Don't know if it'll actually be before Christmas or after Christmas. We're still having some conversation internally about the timing of that. I think there's pros and cons either way. You don't want to, you know, get something into people's hands that they're just going to set aside because they're too busy right now and completely forget about. But then again, part of me says it'd be nice to get it to them now so that they can know what's coming, and then we'll remind them several times during January as well. But it will be coming out sometime in the future.
Has there been any consideration about, we do have some elderly individuals in our community who may not have access to the technology, finding a way to have some sort of meetings and evenings where people can come to the library and us staff, people who volunteer can assist them to sign up so that it's taken care of and they don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think especially for January, as we're kind of moving towards that February date, which is one of the reasons why we worked with the vendor. They really wanted to move fairly quickly, and we said, no way, we're gonna give this a good 2 months time period so that we can kind of work with individuals. I think that would be worthwhile to do, to set something up like that. And again, just to remind people that you don't, this isn't the only way that you can pay your bill. You can continue to pay some other way if you choose to do that, but we're glad to help going forward. So,
and if you were set up for automatic payment before, you have to reset it up again. Is that what?
Correct.
Okay. My question on that, because I set up my account, what if you do not have an email address? Again, elderly may not have an email address. It does ask you for your email address when you're signing up.
Yeah. And Lindsay, I don't know if you want to come up and answer any questions. If you may know, but my assumption is you can set up a payment. The challenge is having an account. I think they use an email address as the account.
Yeah.
And so for individuals who don't have an email address, I think they'd end up having to come to the city. Probably what we would do is we would help them make an email address or something like that. Gmail is pretty easy to set up. We would probably work with them to do something like that, because it's not uncommon that a lot of these systems, again, just by default require an email address, even if they're not going to use it very much. That would be how they get noticed, something like that. But do you know if there's a way to set up an account without an email address?
Yeah,
I don't recall that there is. But again, we would be more than happy to kind of work with them to try to set something like that up.
When do we go through our first billing with the new software?
When will we? Yeah, the plan is in February.
In February.
Yeah.
I guess my concern was, and I know some people that aren't, as Kate said, as savvy technical-wise, that GI did automatic withdrawal, which we did, and we set up our account. Do you get notified email-wise that, hey, Rick Paulson signed up for automatic bank? I mean, so you don't get, I hate to see people in the community get double dinged and up, then it's just gonna turn into a...
I know that we have the ability manually to look and see, okay, who were we having processed before through a bank draw or something like that, who's been signed up in the new system. We'll have to manually do that. I don't think it'd give us a magic report that shows here's the people who haven't done something. But that'll be one of the things that we'll work on in January, is okay, kind of where are we with those who had something set up, start actively trying to reach out to some of those individuals.
That's been one of our biggest concerns, is those who have set up AutoPay who aren't getting onto the front desk, because AutoPay will, in the current system, will end January 31st, and we want to prevent any mishap. And so we'll do our best to monitor everybody that's in AutoPay that's automatically set up to pay the bills, and to reach out to them to get this set up. One of the other things, Caitlin, that I appreciated that comment of, can we do a night? And I think that's fantastic. We're set up also here. If people walk in, that we'll use the computer that is here at the front of the office to help people set up their accounts here too. So it may not be as exciting and fun as going to the library together, but we can accommodate them here.
Just for a scale of magnitude, how many auto pay folks do we have set up today?
Seven? Nine? I really don't know. I haven't monitored that quite yet. This hasn't gone far and wide.
No. I'm talking about the old system.
Oh, the old system.
Yeah.
I don't know that number either.
Okay.
Great question. Let me find that out.
No, it's just that, I mean, if there's 1,000 or 200 or 80,
percent,
that's it. It's
yeah. But, and again, we'll start monitoring all that very closely in January. I'll make sure that at least at the second meeting in January, we'll let you know kind of where we are, how many we've had transition over, and what kind of efforts we've been having so far.
I can imagine having received more than one of the, hey, you forgot to pay your water bill and we're coming to shut it off notices in my time and living here in the city, and even while on the council. We'll be careful about sending the guys out to turn off in the middle of the shower.
We've already talked about, at least in February, obviously we're going to be very gracious with them. Probably we'll do that in March as well.
Are we even considering potentially, I guess, I don't know, but forgiving the late fee too? Because I guess I'm just thinking, if I set up an automatic payment, I wouldn't think that changing the bill pay would change my automatic payment that's coming out of my bank. So.
Yeah, and again, it's the, one of the reasons why, going back to that list and understanding who's been having things automatically paid before, okay. We'll make sure that we don't ding someone who normally would have been paying early enough to get that deduction. That there are a good number of people who wait until they get that, because they don't want to automatically drawing. They want to go in and enter the dollar amount every single time. Those people tend to still have to do that, obviously, before the 10th of the month.
Yeah.
But again, we'll monitor that, okay. Let you know. Any other questions for this?
Thank you. And thank you for allowing folks to still have the ability to walk over and pay it in the slot here at City Hall. Because my husband's a stick in the mud and refuses to do anything online. He said, am I still going to get to put it in the slot? I said, I don't know.
We take very literally that statement that's right there in green on the bill, that this is good for all debts, foreign and domestic. You know? It still should be.
Well, he appreciates it.
Okay.
Thank you. All right. Mr. Anderson.
Motion to adjourn.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
We have a motion and a second to adjourn. Please register your vote.
I apparently walked out.
Did anybody vote? Did you vote?
I voted.
Did you vote, Brad?
Yeah. Left my phone at home, so I didn't have pictures of the dog.
Oh, no.
See the
dog. Yeah, I do.
There we go. She smelled like Mindy for a half a day after she
did
dropped
she?
Off the jet ski. Yeah.
I
almost didn't recognize you with
yes.
the haircut.
Meeting adjourned.
Changing my way.